Welcome back to our final segment of the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, John Kaminsky, and this morning's conversation is with Chris Mim, Managing Director of Strategic Issues at GAO. Chris, we talk with a lot of our guests about internal and external collaboration. What kinds of partnerships are you developing now to improve operations or outcomes at GAO and across the federal government, and how do these partnerships kind of change over time?
Collaboration, boy, I'm glad you asked about that, is that, you know, what's been fascinating to me is to see the shift in the unit of analysis in much of the public management literature over the last 10 to 15 years, or probably even 15 to 20 years, away from a focus on government and much more to a focus on governance, which is the recognition that meaningful public outcomes, virtually any outcome, you know, isn't accomplished or done or caused by any one organization, and certainly not one federal agency working alone, but rather it's done through patterns of relationships of several federal agencies, very often state and local governments, very often, as we were discussing earlier, contractors, for very often the not-for-profit sector and NGOs. It's how these all work together. Networks is another part of is what it's often called. How these all work together and how you improve the working of those together. Much of the literature is suggesting is really the key to improving government performance in the 21st century. That's certainly the governance conundrum, as it were. The key to success then on these types of issues is collaboration, both in we look at that both in an external sense of how can the federal government better collaborate, but that's also something that we take very much to heart when we think internally. And in the narrowest sense, it's something that we work on very much in strategic issues, making sure that we're, my team at GAO, making sure that we're reaching out to our clients or our colleagues rather across the office that are on other mission area teams, making sure that we have the benefit of their most sophisticated thinking, making sure that they have the benefit of some of the things that we're looking at and we're finding as well. Externally, we also establish partnerships primarily with the good government agencies or good government organizations, the Partnership for Public Service, the National Academy of Public Administration, Association for Government Accountants, obviously the IBM Center for the Business of Government, and other arms of some of the major firms, to make sure first that we have, as appropriate, an understanding of what each of us are working on. And then second, identify to the extent that there are opportunities for collaboration, for reinforcement of messages. Now, all of this has to be done while maintaining the appropriate degree of institutional independence and the different perspectives that each of these organizations have. And just sharing, what are we working on? What are you hearing as some of the emerging issues? What do you think is coming down the pike? It provides a great opportunity. Concrete example of that is when the president in the early days of this administration, OMB was putting together the president's management agenda for the human capital standards, OPM invited us over and said we had just done a guide on basically a maturity model on strategic human capital management. And OPM called us over and invited us in along with OMB and said, you know, let's see if there are opportunities to work together and see if they could be informed and on this. And that was a great partnership that we thought, you know, paid dividends in terms of the agencies, that they just got one consolidated set of advice or guidance from the administration, advice from us that they could act on in strategic human capital issues.
Oh, and what's really interesting about that is that after several years of putting those standards into practice, just a few months ago, those were put into formal OPM regulations. So they are now standard guidance for agencies across the government. Chris, in the theme of external partnerships and stuff, last year you became the 18th chairman of the board for the National Academy of Public Administration, which you mentioned a little earlier. Could you tell us a little bit more about the mission and the purpose of the National Academy, and what are your responsibilities as chairman?
That I'd be very, very happy to. In fact, I have often said that the single moment in which I have been most honored in my professional career was being elected as a fellow of the National Academy of Public Administration in back in 2001. NAPA is a congressionally chartered organization it's a fellowship-oriented or fellowship organization of the nation's top experts in public management at the federal, state, local level, increasingly in the not-for-profit level, and in the academic worlds. The basic bottom line of NAPA is it's leaders advising leaders. Mm-hmm. Our congressional charter requires that we be available to advise the Congress and executive branch agencies on a full range of public management issues and to offer them perspectives based on experience, guidance, and independent research that we may do. As chairman of the board, and I've been chairman a little bit over a year now, my responsibilities are fundamentally on behalf of the board to create an environment in which we are deeply engaged in the daily activities of the academy, and that the academy is drawing on the best talents and guidance and perspectives of the board. We're very fortunate that we have a president and CEO, Jenna Dorn, to lead us into a series of new and just fascinating issues for us. And she has underway a major initiative looking at interagency collaboration and Web 2.0 technologies that I think is just going to pay great dividends for the academy, or more importantly, pay great dividends for agencies. And so my major role is to make sure that we have in place the procedures and processes to that we are drawing on the best talents of the fellows, and that the fellows are deeply engaged in the work of the academy.
Separate vein, there's currently a variety of pay systems in the federal government, all the way from the 1949 era general schedule system to the more recent pay banded systems that are intended to be more market and performance based, with broader job classifications than in the old general schedule system. How do you think the next administration should handle issues regarding pay, classification, performance management reforms?
You can get much of the performance improvement that you will get from a pay-for-performance system just by having in place a good performance management system. And by that, the good is meaning one that has credibility with staff and managers. Most important thing that we think that can happen is for Congress to provide legislation that would provide or allow authorities of what we call the show-me test, which is that agencies would be authorized to go to pay-for-performance, but only after they have demonstrated meeting a set of clear criteria spelled out in the legislation of what needs to be in place before they could go to pay for performance. If we are moving to a pay for performance and more market sensitive pay, and we believe we should, and inevitably we will have to. Yeah. But if we're going to do that, that agencies have in place the infrastructure that they will be successful in that.
Okay, well, that's very interesting. I'd like to transition now to the future. Recently, the IBM Center for the Business of Government released its report called 10 Challenges Facing Public Managers. And those 10 challenges provide a snapshot of what we see as 10 big challenges that face public managers in the decade ahead. Would you give us a sense of the key issues that you think will be affecting the federal government over the next few years? And on a broader basis, what are some of the major opportunities or challenges that GAO will wind up encountering? And how do you think that GAO will evolve in responding to this over the next few years?
Well, geez, that's a huge question. Let me begin by saying, I'm obviously aware that I'm on your radio program here, but I just thought the report on challenges facing 10 challenges facing public managers was just excellent. And I thought it was excellent substantively, and I think equally important that it was excellent in that it's the 10 challenges were distilled into a short, readable, digestible format and didn't require 1,000 pages pages afterwards. So congratulations to your colleagues that worked on that. Having said that, many of the issues that I think that you touched upon are things that are consistent with that in the IBM report are consistent with things that we've been identifying in some of our work, and that I think will be enduring challenges. There are things we've been talking about in over the last hour or so. Certainly, the long-term fiscal. That's important both in its obviously it's both in its own right, but it's also important in the sense that it bathes everything else. The color of that, bathes all other issues in which we think about what government we want and what size we want government to be. I think the governance notion that we were talking about earlier will also be huge when you look at the public management successes and public management failings in recent years. They've all been at the center of those, either success or failure from a governance perspective. And the failures are obviously those that are more well known in terms of 9/11. The failure to connect the dots, as the 9/11 Commission referred to it. The the response to Hurricane Katrina, which is, you know, I mentioned earlier, Don Kettle is someone that I've learned from at every point in my career, referred to as perhaps the country's greatest public administration failure. That, in essence, was an inability for organizations at the federal, state, local level, not-for-profit, for-profit sectors to work well across organizational boundaries. And it, the recovery began to get better when they when those governance issues began to get better. The nation's preparations for, you know, in the event of pandemic influenza, all completely dependent upon organizations working together. So the long-term fiscal, the governance issues that, you know, that, that we view as is kind of the two biggest buckets that, that are out there.
Chris, given your dedicated service to GAO over the years and your time in public service, what advice would you give to someone thinking about a career in public service?
I firmly believe, and I've said this very often, that this is the most exciting time in at least a generation to be involved in the public service. And it turns on the two things that I mentioned just a moment ago, the long-term fiscal challenges and the governance issues. And the challenges that federal managers face, the decisions that federal decision makers face in the executive branch and in Congress are really unprecedented in the scope that, that they confront. The need for good information, the need for good managers, the need for good people to help us navigate our way through these enormous challenges that, that we as a we as a country face in the next 5, 10, 15 years is just enormous. And so it's an exciting time and a very challenging time to be involved in public management. So that's the first point that I would make to people. The second point that I would make is that, you know, the importance of service is that it's, you know, increasingly through efforts like the administration's with their PART process and the president's management agenda, through all the heroic efforts that agencies have been making under the Government Performance and Results Act, we are getting these lines of sight in agencies where individual programs are better able to show demonstrable results from their work. That's something that people can come into government from and have complete confidence that what they're working on is improving the lives and livelihood of their fellow citizens. And that's a very, very big deal for people. And so it's both kind of the intellectual excitement and the just the opportunity to be a part of something big, as well as the opportunity to return something to our fellow citizens, I think are two very important reasons to be involved in the public service.
Well, Chris, that's really great advice. We've reached the end of our time, and that'll have to be our last question. But I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. But more importantly, I'd like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country and public service.
Well, thank you, John. It's been just a great pleasure to be with you here this morning. And again, for anyone that's interested in GAO and wants any of the reports that your tax dollars pay for, www.gao.gov, everything is up there.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Chris Mim, who's the Managing Director of Strategic Issues at the U.S. Government Accountability Office. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take the time to remember the men and women of our armed services and civil services abroad who may not be able to hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm John Kamensky. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.